True to you, radio. Beautiful. Bloom. Blessing. Bright.
Welcome to Fierce Chick Radio. Here is your host, CEO, therapist, and life coach, Kelly Ruda.
Hey there. Welcome back to Fierce Chick Radio. This is Kelly Ruda. I'm your host. I'm the CEO and founder of Fierce Chick Coaching, where I teach women worldwide how to face their fears so they can live passionate, powerful, and purpose-driven lives. I'm so grateful that you're here with me today. I'm super excited, you guys. I have a killer show for you today. I have an interview with somebody incredibly special. You're absolutely going to love her. But you know how I do this. Before we get to the good stuff, I'm going to ask you to put your hands on flat on top of the tops of your legs and your feet flat on the floor, and to take advantage of this moment, especially if it's the only one you can grab today, to just breathe and center yourself. So just take a nice deep breath in through your nose. And blow it out slowly through your mouth. Let's do that one more time. In through your nose. And out through your mouth. Great. You guys know I'm really big on setting intentions before I do everything and anything. And so today I want to invite you to set your own intention about receiving information from today's show. And I'll share with you that my intention, as always, is to be present with you, centered in what I'm talking about, and authentic, and to share with you empowering information that helps you become the person that you were meant to be. And having said that, I can't wait any longer because I'm so excited to introduce you to a friend and colleague. I'm here today with Maya Toll. Maya, are you there?
I am.
Yay!
I was breathing along with you. I was don't breathe too loud. I'm on the line.
I'm so glad. I have people do that at the beginning of every single show because I feel like we live such rushed lives that might be the only time they stop and do that during the day, or God forbid during the week if they're, you know, only listening once. So I feel like it's a good time to, you know, ask people to slow down and just kind of check in with themselves.
A good reason to listen every day.
Yes. So let me tell you guys, before I start asking Maya a bazillion questions about what she does and what she can bring to the audience, I do want to tell you all a little bit about her because she has this amazing, incredible background and journey, which I'm going to ask her about today. Maya is a guide for women on an earth-based spiritual and healing path. She has what she calls muggle credentials, which I love, including being on the faculty at Westchester University in botanical medicine and teaching as a guest lecturer at the University of Pennsylvania and Pennsylvania Hospital. But quote-unquote medicine, as Maya learned it during her apprenticeship in Ireland, was broader than simply the healing of the body. It included not only the gifts of the botanical kingdom, but also the shadow play of the soul and the practices that align us with earth and sky. This is the medicine that Maya brings to students in her Witch Camp and Make Your Own Medicine programs, which you guys are going to hear about in just a little while. But first of all, I want to say welcome, Maya, and thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today.
Oh, I'm so glad to be here, Kelly. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. My listeners know that I am all about bringing, you know, what I like to call fierce chicks together to talk about what we do and how we do it. And what I've talked about many times with the listeners is that, you know, it's really important not to think that, you know, you have to be a certain way to be fierce in your life. And so I, you know, I'm all about interviewing women who are from different walks of life and just, you know, are involved in different careers and are just out there doing their thing. And so I guess my first question for you is, can you tell the listeners a little bit about you and your businesses and how you do your thing?
Yeah. You know, it's just so interesting because I think that when you're just living your own life, you're caught up in the daily of it, just like everybody else is. And you don't think of yourself as a fierce chick, you know?
Yeah.
My husband and I have two stores and we sell botanical medicine products. So if it comes from the plants, we sell it. And for those of you who are a little more familiar with what that looks like, we have herbs, teas, essential oils, flower essences, and all kinds of skincare products. So that's one face of the business, but my husband pretty much takes care of that side of it. And I focus on education, both one-on-one and in groups. And in the last year, I've moved a lot of that online, which has been just a really fascinating and steep learning curve. And a new way to do an old thing for me. So it's been a trip, actually, learning to work in the online world. And what it allows you to do is really stretch out and reach people in a much broader way, right?
Love that.
Yeah.
So what brought you to do that? What had you go from the, you know, brick and mortar store to online?
Yeah, it actually, the brick and mortar store kind of came second. I was seeing clients and teaching in Philadelphia where we used to live. And my students and my clients were having trouble finding some of the things that I was telling them to get.
Okay.
So Andrew, my husband, said, you know, why don't you open a little apothecary and just help people out to get going on this? And that was the beginning of what then grew into two rather significant retail operations.
Can you tell our listeners here in the States where those are located? Because if they're local, I'd love for them to go check out your storefront.
Yeah, absolutely. So one store is in Philadelphia. And if you're from Philadelphia, you know Reading Terminal Market, which is right downtown. And we are right near Famous Cookies. That's the landmark I always give people.
That's so dangerous.
It's very dangerous. Luckily, I'm gluten-free, so the temptation was low. But wow, our whole store always smells like cookies on the one side and coffee on the other. And then our other store is in Asheville, North Carolina, and we're downtown in Asheville. And the store is called Herbiary. We also have online shopping, so that's herbiary.com.
Awesome. You guys have to check that out. I was just there this weekend. You know, if you've been following me on Facebook, you know that I was just in Asheville for a two-day mastermind retreat, which was killer. And in between, I had the pleasure of going right next door to where we were and shopping in Maya's store, which was awesome because I came down with a cold while I was there. And I ran next door and got everything I needed. And, you know, as of yesterday, I was feeling completely back to myself. So if you have a chance and you're in the Asheville area or the Philly area, you've got to get to the Herbiary and check it out. I can, you know, speak for the one in Asheville. It's absolutely beautiful. The staff is phenomenal, and you just feel really peaceful as soon as you walk through the door. So you guys have to go check it out. So Maya, let me ask you my next question, which is, how does somebody end up doing such a cool business, a unique business? Can you tell the listeners a little bit about your journey? Because a lot of what I talk about here on the show is about finding your purpose and being a leader in your own life, because if you don't lead it, somebody else is going to. So can you tell everybody how you ended up doing this and following your passion?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Kelly, when we were talking about doing this interview, one of the things you and I we're both kind of grooving on is this idea that the universe sometimes taps you on the shoulder and points you in a different direction than the one that you were cruising down. And at that point, you always have an option, right? You can ignore that little tap, or you can drop what you're doing and grab your backpack and go. And so I've had a couple different moments where I got tapped, and I might have missed a couple too, but the ones that I know about, the first one that kind of started me on the very beginnings of this journey was about 20 years ago. And I got really sick. And I was lucky, actually, because I had a medical doctor at the time who was studying Chinese medicine.
Wow.
Yeah. I was living in New York City where, you know, there's room for just a little more funkiness than in a lot of other parts of the world. And she was really flabbergasted. She said to me, you know, your thyroid's goitered, but your blood tests are fine. If I prick your finger, I can see that your blood sugar is low. If I do a diabetes panel, it's fine. You know, so things just weren't matching up. And she finally said to me, look, I can tell you're sick, but Western medicine isn't going to figure this out.
Wow. That was brave of her, I think.
Really brave.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, and it was really bad. I'd gotten to the point where I was so exhausted on a daily basis that I would get to my desk. I was a teacher at an elementary school, and I would sit down and cry. I had no idea how I was going to get through the day. I was so tired just from getting to work.
Oh.
And so I started doing the rounds of the homeopaths and herbalists and Chinese medicines. And, you know, there's so much in New York City to explore. And I met with a lot of people, and I don't know that any one thing was it, but I was advised to change my diet pretty severely. And this was before going gluten-free was a popular thing to do.
Right.
But I was down to veggies and grilled meats, and that's it. No condiments, very limited spices. I think I was using olive oil, but no vinegar. It was a really restricted diet, and within a week and a half, I started to feel better.
Oh, my goodness. That's huge.
It was huge. It was huge. I felt like I got my life back. So that began for me this, it was really a journey into thinking about self-care differently. I grew up with, you know, a family therapist for a mom and a lawyer for a dad, and very conventional mainstream. If you got sick, not only did you go to a doctor, but you went to the best doctor in the area.
Right.
You know, you went to the specialist at University of Pennsylvania. And so I really thought that all this other stuff was hogwash.
Right, right. Which I think a lot of mainstream society thinks, because we've been, I don't know, I guess brainwashed to fear some of what you do.
Yeah.
Which
absolutely.
Is a shame, because it paralyzes people and it makes them believe that they can only, you know, really go the mainstream medical route. But it sounds like you really stood up and decided to go against that and even kind of go against your family norm.
And it was never that, well, I don't want to say never, but in the beginning, there wasn't this one decision. There was this constant struggle to have some context to understand how I was sent away from, you know, Western medicine and pharmacology. I was sent to find other things by my doctor. So it's like I had permission in this weird sort of way. And yet at the same time, even the dietary changes that I was doing, everyone thought it was so strange.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And food is so big in our society that, you know, I can imagine just going out to dinner with friends was a challenge.
It all became a challenge. And it wasn't just a challenge because of other people's thoughts about it. It was a challenge because my own thoughts were so conflicted.
Right.
You know, what is this that I'm doing here? So that was the beginning. And then it was a long, slow journey, exploring food, exploring herbs, arguing with myself a lot.
Yeah.
This is BS, but it works. So, and eventually, many, many years later, I think about 8 years later, so a long time to kind of assimilate this information, I got my second tap on the shoulder. This was one of those strange situations where I was doing a lot of study on intuition, and I was literally working for work with Joseph Campbell's The Hero's Journey.
Yes.
And so I was really paying attention to those moments in your life where you kind of get what Joseph Campbell calls the call.
Yes.
The call to adventure, you know, where you go through the process of stepping into a different way of being. And Joseph Campbell lays out this, you know, this very true path where first you get the call and then you kind of deny the call. You say, oh no, not me. I don't want to do that.
Right.
That's too hard. That's too difficult. And so I was looking for signs. It just was part of my daily being at that point. And my life started to unravel. And, you know, in a gazillion little ways, roommates in the house that I owned decided to move in with their boyfriend or move back to New York City. I was doing a lot of freelance teaching, and a couple of jobs fell away, really for strange reasons. Like one company miscalculated their funds. They dropped off a zero in their bookkeeping.
Gosh. Yeah. Oh, God.
They thought they had $90,000 in the bank when they had $9,000 in the bank.
Oh, my goodness. Talk about a big mistake.
Yeah, yeah. And just talk about, like, weird things piling on. And so finally, I was like, oh, I get it.
Yeah.
I'm done with this phase of my life. So in a moment of really just divine trust, I put my house on the market. And I sold my house. And all of a sudden I was like, whoa, what does a person do when there's no longer a house and no longer a job and all these things we kind of ground into?
Right.
And through a series of conversations and dreams and odd coincidences, I decided to go to Ireland to study herbalism.
Oh my gosh. So I have to just stop you right there and ask you a question about that.
Okay.
Because, you know, you say it almost poetically. You are telling this story beautifully. But as I'm listening, I'm imagining that in that space and in that time, there must have been some real fear that bubbled up for you. And I would love it if you could speak to that a little bit, because, you know, in the way that I do therapy with people and in the way I coach the women I work with, and also in the topics on the show, fear is significant. And, you know, I hear from people all the time that it is the thing that literally stops them in their tracks from becoming, you know, the women that they want to be. And I've, you know, I'll talk about my own life at different times and how it's come up for me. But what I think the listeners need to hear is how you address that in order to take these big life-altering steps.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I mean, you know, Kelly, you just have to do it scared, right?
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
not that all of a sudden the fear goes away.
Right.
It's that the vision is more enticing than the fear.
Yeah. And that's such a good point, because I think sometimes people don't allow themselves that vision. I think that, and I can relate to when I was younger in pushing that vision away because it felt a little bit indulgent, or it felt like fluff, or it just seemed like fantasy. So can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I think that the clearest way I can speak about this is to use a little bit of a metaphor. When I was selling my house, like, not only was I getting rid of the house, but I was getting rid of a whole lot of possessions. And I've always loved antiques and I'd been collecting antiques for years. So I was a teacher. I taught K through six for a while, and then I was teaching college. I lived in a house in a small town. I had roommates. I wasn't in a marriage or a long-term relationship at that point. And I had a house full of really fabulous antiques. So I realized that I was going to have to get rid of everything.
Yeah.
You know, that if I'm really going to go away for a year, putting things into storage, and I didn't know where I was going to live when I came back, that was just silly. So the first yard sale, I carefully looked at the value of all my different antiques, and I priced them accordingly. And so I was really looking for what I could get out of, right? In a strange way, it was like, what could I take with me?
Sure.
Not the piece itself, but the worth, the value, the money, right?
Sure.
And I was holding on to things. I had price tags that were not really allowing things to move, because I wasn't quite ready to let go. I was scared that if I lost that $500 that I'd spent on that dresser, you know, that it was all going to go to hell in a handbasket, that I wouldn't be eating next month.
Right.
So the first yard sale, I hardly sold anything. And then I started to get panicky because, you know, the house was sold and I've got to get rid of all this stuff. So I had a second yard sale and I lowered the prices a bit, and some things sold. But again, at the end of the day, I still had a lot of stuff.
Yeah. How?
How did you get to the third yard sale?
Yeah. How do you work through that? I mean, it sounds like your fear was lifting a bit and almost you were responding to the pressure of the situation. But I mean, I guess my question for you is, and I don't mean to minimize it or make it sound simple, but literally, how do you just show up for that third yard sale? I mean, yeah. How do you just get yourself to that point? Because I think you made an excellent point. You know, it's, you just sometimes do it scared. And I think people need to understand and be validated in their fear that, you know, people who, well, like you, like myself, who are talking about, hey, get out there and live your life, be who you are supposed to be. It's not that we do it without fear. And I tell people all the time, I mean, that's what courage is about. You don't need courage if you don't have any fear. So it's about calling on that and listening to the voice of your wise self and just aligning yourself with that. So how did you do that in order to get rid of your stuff and get yourself across the pond, as they say?
Yeah. So I think that one of the things that a lot of people don't realize is that fear wears a lot of different faces.
Yeah, absolutely.
And yeah. So for me, I don't do the quaking in your boots fear. I get angry.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you've seen a lot of that in your practice, that kind of, right?
Well, I've seen a lot of that in myself.
Let me punch you in the nose before you punch me in the nose.
Yes,
like that,
exactly.
Kind of like, right? You just channel the fear into anger. And so I got angry. I got really angry at all these people in my small town who didn't realize the value of my fabulous antiques.
Right.
And then, you know, this was like week over week. This was 3 weekends in a row having these yard sales. And so by the third weekend, I realized that I was allowing what was really my fear about money, essentially, right?
Yes.
Of
yes.
giving up the value of these things and not having enough money in the future. I was allowing my fear about money, despite the fact that I had plenty to get through what I wanted to get, you know, get through as the next step, to really make my life incredibly difficult. I mean, if I didn't get rid of this stuff, the hoops that I was going to have to jump through to get it out of the house were just a nightmare, right?
Yeah.
The easiest course of action, the path of least resistance, was to just let it go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I finally worked through the anger and got to that. And the amazing thing about the third yard sale for me was I marked everything between 50 cents and $2.
Wow. So you really took a leap over those 3 weeks.
Yeah. And then I started giving things away. And at the point where I started giving things away, it was as if something just lifted off my shoulders, like the burden of all those possessions, all those things I was clinging to so tightly, just lifted.
Do you think that that action was one of the things that primarily allowed you to then go to Ireland, follow your passion, you know, dive into your purpose and into sort of becoming who you are and just discovering things? Because that's a big leap for somebody.
It's a really big leap. And I think that what it has to do with, like, the bigger leap, the internal leap, is that decision that it's okay to give up the self you've been. Mm. It's okay. You know, this whole past, this past through possessions, this history of stuff. It's okay. You're still you without all that stuff.
Yeah.
And in fact, you're more you without all that stuff.
Exactly. And I think that I'm so glad that you said that, because I want the women listening to understand that, you know, it's okay and often necessary to let all that go, and that you don't have to have the rest of it figured out yet. You just need to take the next step.
Yeah. And that's a great point, Kelly, because I didn't have the rest of it figured out. This was not a career path. This was not, I'm going to give up everything and go off to Ireland and become an herbalist. I mean, who's even really heard of an herbalist?
Yeah.
I've been teaching for a decade. Selling this house is giving me a little breathing room. What do I want to do for a year in that space? So I didn't head off with this whole path laid out. I headed kind of into the void.
Yeah.
And the void was Ireland, and that was wonderful and fun. But it wasn't some grand life plan. It was, I know the next step. Okay. Now I'll do another step. All right. What does it look like from here? And can I do yet another step?
Right. Right. So, you know, help me and help the other listeners understand how, in doing that and in ultimately becoming an herbalist, how that really empowered you to be who you were meant to be.
Yeah. I think that the biggest thing that's happened, and again, it's been slow over time. I mean, from that first non-diagnosis from my doctor in my early 20s, up until now is, I guess it's about 18 years. And wow. So it's been a slow taking back of power, starting to understand that there are a lot of stories that we've grown up with about who we are as a culture and who we are as individuals within that culture, and how we care for ourselves or don't, how we listen to ourselves or don't. And slowly but surely, I mean, I think really the place where I have stepped into my own power is not out in the world owning businesses and, you know, showing up and teaching at conferences and things like that. Like, that's what people see.
Right.
But the real power is just in the everyday being. And instead of running around looking for the latest expert on either my health or, you know, any part of my being, right? I go in instead of out first.
I love that. I love that. And that's one of the things that I talk about often. And I feel like as women, it's almost like we wait around for someone to give us permission to do that. And really the truth is, you have to give yourself permission to do that.
Yes. Yeah. And it takes a long time to feel confident in it, because even after you give yourself permission, sometimes, you know, it's months or years before you actually feel good about it, before you don't second guess yourself. And that's okay. You know, you just be gentle with yourself and keep going back to the well, keep turning back inward. And when you feel that little voice within saying, this is the way to do this, give that as much respect as you do a trusted teacher who's not you, who's outside
right.
of you.
Right. Yeah. I think learning to honor that voice and also to trust it, you know, enough to follow what your wise self. And, you know, we all call it different things, whether it's, you know, the voice of the divine or the universe or God or whatever you want to call it. But I think people have to, or women especially, have to take that time and listen and find that voice, because we've been conditioned so often to listen to everybody else and outside of ourselves that I often say this to, you know, women one-on-one, they look at me like, what voice? What are you talking about? They've become so disconnected.
Yeah.
And so taking that time to just quiet and center and find that voice and then learn how to honor it and trust it and then take inspired action based on what it's telling you, that's not something you do overnight. It's not something you do in a week or a month. It's really a process. It's an unfolding.
It's really a lifetime's journey.
It is.
But it's why I developed Witch Camp, which, you know, the name puts people, some people off a smidge and other people laugh and smile, but I define a witch as a woman who knows herself and her place in the cycle of the seasons.
Oh, so I've never heard it described that way. And I'm so glad that you're explaining that, because again, you know, the culture slaps certain things on certain words. And I think again, that puts people at a disadvantage because then they turn away from it rather than turn towards it. And I really want the listeners today to understand what it is you do and how what you offer can really help them step into that power that you've been talking about, that you've drawn on for your journey.
I think that especially with words that have been used to negatively describe women, it's really important to reclaim those words.
Yes.
It's really important to look at what they were originally, look at what the root is. Witches caused fear. Witches caused fear because they didn't just fall into line. They didn't do things necessarily the way that the common culture did. And so claiming that word witch and saying, I'm going to think for myself. I'm going to check in with myself first. And I'm going to live in tune and in sync with what's going on out in the natural world instead of just marching to whatever cultural drum is, you know, pounding away at the moment. It puts you in a different place. One of the things that I think is so important about connecting with the natural world is the natural world works in cycles.
Mm-hmm.
And it aligns you with the idea of cyclicality, with things going around. You always get another chance. You know, summer comes again. It's never a one and done.
Mm-hmm.
We live in linear time. Everything's one and done. Everything's a rush. Everything's so important right now.
Right.
But cyclical time, you get a do-over, right? There's a new moon every month.
It's such an important thing because I talk often about how literally, you know, with every morning when you wake up, it's a redo. You know, you get to hit that redo button and set your intention for the day and show up big in your life. And it's another chance to do that. So I love that you're, you know, reinforcing that with what you're doing for people who, you know, come to you to learn and to grow and to expand. And having said that, can you tell the listeners a little bit about how you do that and how you work with people and what can they do if they'd like to learn more about what you do and how you do it?
Yeah, absolutely. So I have two streams, and I think of them as a heart-centered learning stream and a head-centered learning stream. So the heart-centered stream is Witch Camp. And if you want to go to the website, it's WITCH-camp. Don't forget the dash, which dash camp, because without the dash, you go somewhere else.
And it's .com?
.com,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And my purpose with Witch Camp is to help women to reconnect with themselves. So there's the structure is based on exercises that you do and the noticing about how it makes you feel that you can then share with the group or share in your journal. So right now we're getting ready for the next Witch Camp boot camp. And the boot camps are these little intensive slices where we look at where we are on the wheel of the year. And right now the light is getting less here in the Northern Hemisphere. We're moving towards the darkest part of the year.
Right.
So we're focusing on some mythology that lines up with that. We're going to be looking at the myth of Persephone and Inanna.
Yeah.
And doing little daily rituals and writing about them every day for the time between Halloween and solstice.
Now, so, is this a group program that you're talking about? So how would this play out?
Yeah, so it's a group program, and I'll be suggesting kind of the ritual of the week. And the rituals are ways of making your thoughts manifest in the world. So it's not about, you know, running around and dancing naked under the full moon. It's little things like what you just had everyone do, Kelly, like remembering to breathe.
Yes.
So one week we might have a ritual where, you know, every morning when you wake up, lay in bed and breathe for 5 minutes.
Right, right. Okay.
And then grab your journal. How does that make you feel?
Yeah.
What have you noticed about yourself? For this particular boot camp, we're going to be really focusing on things that align with this going down into the darker part of the year. So traditionally, this is a time when we honor the ancestors. Okay. So one thing we'll be working with is ancestor altars. So everyone will be thinking about an ancestor that they really just want to focus on, and then finding a little place in their home to put some pictures, or, you know, maybe their favorite chocolate bar, some things just for reminders, some things to help connect.
I love that. I love that.
Yeah, and spending time on a daily basis with that. So it's little actions that allow you to get a different perspective.
So if, and I'm not even going to say if, I'm going to say when the listeners decide they want to get involved in this awesome program, do they just go directly to the website and sign up there?
Yeah. And this is, you know, this is a program that I really want to be accessible for people. So when I get into more one-on-one work and small group work, you know, I know that pricing can start to be a little more prohibitive for some people, but the boot camps, I keep the pricing really reachable. This is $89, and it's
oh my goodness.
Yeah, seven weeks, 51 days, and there'll be little daily writing prompts and weekly ritual suggestions so that people can really just explore this time of year.
That is amazing. That price point is unreal and perfect really for somebody who is just getting introduced to this and wants to dive in. That's amazing.
It's really a great complement for coaching or therapy, or, you know, if you're a blogger and you just need some things to write. I feel like it's one of those things that it's great on its own, but also if you're, you know, working on yourself in some other way, it's a great way to do some daily work that you can then bring to whomever you're working with.
Yes. And you could really weave that in so many different ways. I love that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now tell us about this other,
the other track.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the head track is for people who approach their learning more through their head. They have to get their head on board before they can engage their intuition. And so for that track, you start with a class called Make Your Own Medicine.
Absolutely.
And what I've come to realize is that making your own medicine in our culture is a pretty revolutionary practice. It takes some bravery.
Yeah.
It takes some bravery to say, you know, I can make something in my own kitchen. My own kitchen is clean enough. My own kitchen is sterile enough. I can make cough syrup. I can make a formula that will help the next time I have the flu. I mean, we're really indoctrinated to think that someone else needs to do that for us.
Yes, absolutely.
And it is so powerful to understand that you can do that for yourself.
Wow. And so where do the listeners go to get hooked up with that? I mean, that just sounds incredibly interesting as well.
Yeah. So the next time that class is being offered is January 12th.
Coming up. Good.
Yeah. 2015, right? Wow.
Right around the corner.
Yep. So if you go to my website, which my name is spelled a little strangely, it's Maya with an I. So it's M-A-I-A and then TOLL.com, MayaToll.com. You just go to programs and look for Make Your Own Medicine.
I love that you're offering two programs that really speak to the two different entry points for people. And, you know, you have to get one on board before the other follows. So I love that you're offering two things. So really, it doesn't leave anybody out. If you're interested, if you're listening to the show today and you're loving what you hear, which I can't understand how you couldn't. I mean, this is just awesome stuff. There's two places for you to be able to take the next step and get involved in a different way, in a way that sounds like it will really wake you up and allow you to step into your personal power in a different way. I'm so excited about all of this. Thank you so much for sharing it with the listeners. Now, is there anything that they should know about time frame?
If you want to join the Witch Camp Boot Camp, so that's where we're doing the ritual and writing every day from Halloween until solstice, we're going to get started November 2nd. So there will be some information up starting on Halloween, and it's virtual, so it doesn't matter where you are.
Awesome.
But you really want to be sure that you get in by November 2nd to get the most out of all of this.
Yeah.
And Kelly, you have a Facebook page, right?
I do have a Facebook page, and I'm going to be putting all the information so that people who are listening and driving don't have to worry about, you know, pulling over and writing everything down. So you can go right to the Fierce Chick Facebook page, and you will get all the information that you need with the websites and the names of the programs, and that way you can just be safe while you're driving, and because we don't want any accidents around this. And you all know that you can email me questions or comments at info@fiercechick.com. And I'd be happy to answer anything about the show, get you in touch with Maya, or, you know, give you any of the other information that you heard today. And I think actually we've got to wrap it up, Maya, but I'm so grateful for everything that you shared with me and with the listeners today. You clearly have, you're giving sage advice and you're sharing your wisdom based on your own journey, which I have so much respect for. And it really just allows the listeners, you know, another person to check in with and to say, you know, being a fierce chick, like I said in the beginning, is all about you finding your own personal path and stepping into your power in your own way, whether it's fast, it's loud, it's quiet, it's slow, it doesn't matter as long as it's your way. So everybody, I want to thank you again for checking in with me. Remember that you can go to truetoyouradio.com and download any of the past episodes if you happen to miss one. And don't forget that my free offer is still available. If you want to pick up a copy of The Fierce Chick's Guide to Empowerment, a 3-step jumpstart to living a fierce and fulfilling life, you can do that at my website, www.kellyruta.com/go-you. Thank you for listening, everybody, and go out and have a fabulous day.
Thank you for listening to Fierce Chick Radio. Check out Kelly's free gift at www.kellyruta.com. Tune in next time and have a fabulous day.